Blog Talk Radio.
Father, we just come before you and we praise your holy and righteous name, Lord God. You are sovereign. You are Alpha and Omega and beginning and Father God, you are a good God. You are love, and we come tonight just to honor your name tonight and praise your name. So, Father God, use us in a mighty way, Lord God. Manifest your glory here on this line and open up the hearing of your people, Lord God. Father God, arrest the hearts of your people, Lord God, where they will thirst after you. We just praise you, Holy Spirit, that you have chosen us, Lord God. You have chosen us to speak your mighty word. And we just thank you in the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, amen. Hello, everyone. My name is Victoria Mancherry, and I'm the executive producer for Victorious Radio and Communications, where we seek to provide a trusted source of information for thoughtful people in efficient, sustainable ways that meet their needs while strengthening the civic and cultural lives of the communities in which we seek to serve. I'd like to thank you again for joining us once again for a new episode of Motivational Mondays, the Power Hour. Let's begin this episode by first giving a warm welcome for the hostesses for tonight, Evangelist LaShawn Gabriel O'Brien and Minister Maria Wright.
Yeah.
Are you tonight?
Good evening. I'm doing well. How about you?
Blessed by the best, ready to receive my inspirational vitamin for Motivational Monday.
Amen. Praise God. It is Monday. It's time to get motivated. Time to turn it up.
Minister Wright, are you still there?
I'm here. You know what? I had my phone on mute. I'm just a talking. Amen. I said, we going to bring it.
All right. Well, I'll let you ladies do what you do.
All righty.
Amen. But we are just, you know, excited once again to come together and just share. And tonight's topic, we're going to talk about the potter and the clay. Do you really understand your value? Amen. This came about as just some things that, you know, I've been going through and in conversation with others, and the Lord was just speaking to me today, and, well, for some time on this topic, but, you know, a lot of times we as Christians, we get so caught up in doing what we feel we're supposed to do or being led to do, and that a lot we may get so or get caught up in distractions that we miss where God is having us to be and who he's called us to be, and we also start to let someone else define us as opposed to really understanding that it's God who defines us, because it's God who created us. For he is the potter and we are the clay. So we're going to do a little hopscotch through the scriptures tonight, but we're going to start off with Isaiah 64 and 8. It says, "But now, O Lord, you are our Father, we are the clay, and you are potter, and all we are, and all we are the work of your hand." Amen. So we are the work of God's hand. And when we go to talk about the clay in the Hebrew, it's pronounced, and I'm hoping I'm saying it right, Omer, and it's a very fine grained soil that is malleable when moist but hard when fired. So in other words, when it's wet, you can shape it to be whatever you want it to be. However, once it has been tried and tested through the fire, when it's put into a kiln, which are those really, you know, really big ovens that get really, really hot and just, you know, flames everywhere, when it's put into a kiln, that's when it's hard. And what the Lord was showing me is that we go through our strength and our strength and our determination and our determination to go on, to run on, to see what the end's going to be, as the old folks used to say when I was coming up, comes by the tests and the trials that we go through. And we oftentimes, when we go through the tests and trials, we're looking at, you know, why am I going through this, or why did I have to do this, as opposed to taking the attitude of, okay, God, what am I supposed to get from this? What am I supposed to learn from this, or what would you have me to do? When it comes to clay, clay is used of, it's a sediment that's found, you know, in the pits or in the street of dust, and it's mixed with spittle. So people would spit, they would out their mouth, and put it on the clay, and that's what they would use to form whatever they needed to form, especially when they were using it as a seal, because oftentimes it was used as a seal. They say that you can find it in Matthew 27:66 that our Lord's tomb may have been sealed, thus been sealed by this clay. And the practice of sealing doors with clay is still found common in the eastern part, in the east, a part of the world. And so clay was also in primitive times used for mortar. So they used to use it to build stuff and to build upon. So houses may have been made of clay or buildings made of clay. And the clay ground in which large vessels of the temple were cast were compact from and fitted for the purpose. So in other words, they used to build the temples using this clay. And the expression literally rendered is in the thickness of the ground, meaning that the stiff ground or in the clay. So it was built upon, you know, this clay. It was used to build the building. Now, when we want to go and we talk about the potter is Yoser, which is in the Hebrew, which means to form, to fashion, to create, or design, and it comes from the root word yotzer, which is the prime root. And what the potter is a craftsman. So the potter is a creator, but he's a craftsman, which means that he has a specialized gift that no one else has to do what he does. And so when we look at God being our potter, well, God is he is the craftsman. He is the creator. He is the designer. He is the one that fashioned and fit us together. And so when we look at this, you know, he says, you know, the scripture says, you are the father. You are the potter, and we are the clay. So we are all the work of your hand. And you say, Ms. Ray, why are you saying this? Because I want us to understand that, you know, God makes no mistakes. And the scripture tells us that everything that God did was good. Everything he made was good. So that includes you. So a lot of times, because of life circumstances, we forget the good that God created us to be and that he didn't make a mistake. We all allow people to tell us, you know, that we're this or we're that, or we can't do this or we can't do that, or we're too this or we're too that. And a lot of times it's not uplifting. It's not positive. It's very negative. And over time we ingest that and we forget. And what it is it's just a trick of the enemy to try to devalue who we are. And God is saying, not so. He's saying, I want you to understand who you are in me. And in other words, he's like, I am the one that made you. I am the one that created you. And I really like it. I'm going to turn, and you can turn with me if you have your Bibles with you, if you have your sword. I really love Psalm 139 because Psalm 139 talks about God's perfect knowledge of man. And Psalm 139 tells us, you know, God knows everything about us. He knows our thoughts. He knows our hearts. He knows when we're going to sit down. He knows when we're going to get up. In other words, he knows when we're going to wake up in the morning. He knows when we're going to go to sleep. He has comprehended every part of us. So he knows the path that we're going to take. He knows the roads we're going to travel. He knows all of our ways. He knows the things that we're going to speak before we even speak it. He knows the things that we're going to say before we even said it. He knows us so well that he knew that we were going to be here before we even got here, before we were even a thought in our parents' mind or a seed in our mother's womb. He knew that we were going to be here. And the word tells us, this is, where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? Because if I ascend into the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. So God is telling us that no matter where we are, he has us in the palm of his hand. And we tend to go through our situations, and we are oftentimes we forget that God is right there. We're trying to control this thing. We're trying to do this thing on our own. We're letting anxiety and frustration and fear and doubt come to us, and we're forgetting that we don't have that because we have that advocate right there, that God is right there with us. The word tells us, even at night you shall be light about me. So even in our sleep, God is right there. His presence is right there with us, and he is the light. God is the light. And it says, indeed the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you, for you have formed my inward parts. And this is where the potter, building the clay, if you've ever done any type of pottery, you know that, first of all, when you're doing pottery, it's messy, right? And so it's going to be, there may be some imperfections. Things may not, if your thing that you're trying to build, be it your vase or your lamp or your bowl or cup or whatever, your saucer, it may not quite come out like you want it to come. But when he says that, and I'm going to get back to that point in a minute, he says that when you form me in your inward parts. So as that, as you're building this item, as you're working with the clay and this item, and you're, like I said, your hands, back, you are shaping. Not only are you shaping the outside of the item, you're shaping the inside of the item. You're smoothing it, and you're making it into be whatever you would have it to be. So he forms the inside of us. He covered us in our mother's womb, and, you know, we can praise God. And this is what I really, when I got a hold of this, and it wasn't a conceited thing, it was just a, oh, my God. But God says, I mean, the word says, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they are all written, the days fashioned for me when as yet there were none of them. So in other words, we were written in the book of life before we were even born. And he says, you are fearfully and you are wonderfully made. He created us. He designed us to be a designer original. And he says, marvelous in your work. So you are marvelous in God's eyes. So don't let anyone tell you that you are anything else but marvelous in God's eyes, because that's what you really are. And I saw this and I was like, you know what, God, wow. Because there were so many people that have shared some things with me that are struggling and wondering why they're in this place that they're in. But even this place that you're in has been fashioned by God for such a time as this. But instead of being discouraged about why you're in this place, God, what would you have me to learn from this place? Where would you have me to go? Because the word tells us that we're precious to God. His thoughts of us are precious. He only thinks the good things of us because Jesus came. So he came and he died for our sins. So God doesn't see all of that. He just sees what he created without the mar, without all of that. And so I am just, I just really wanted to share that point because it was just a beautiful thing. And he's saying, I will slay the wicked for you. So for those that speak against us, because we are his creation, and guess what? He's going to take care of his creation. He's going to take care of his because he chose us, because he made us for such a time as this. And when we go to Jeremiah 18, verses 1 through 6, he said, the Lord gave another message to Jeremiah. He said, go down to the potter's shop, and I will speak to you there. So I did as he told me and found the potter working at his wheel. But the jar he was making did not turn out as he had hoped, so he crushed it into a lump of clay again and started over. Then the Lord gave me this message. O Israel, can I not do to you as the potter has done to his clay? As the clay is in the potter's hands, so are you in mine. And I went back and I said, wow, because I just kept going back where he said in verse 4, but the jar he was making did not turn out as he had hoped, so he crushed it into a lump of clay and started over again. But praise God, saints, this is not a negative thing. And I don't want, I'm not, you know, going to allow anything to come in to tell you that that's a negative thing, because it's not. Because what God is saying here is that he's building us. And when we get off track, because he's elected us and he's chosen us, when we get off track, he's going to get us back to where we need to be. So we may have to go through some pruning, a pruning process, and it's not easy, but that's a part of the crushing, because he needs to get us back so we can walk in the purpose that he's designed for us and he's ordained for us, so we can walk in that light. So when we go through the pressing and the crushing and the beating, say, okay, God, obviously I got off track somewhere. Help me get back on track. What do I need to do? So, and he starts all over again. And, you know, it's kind of like a test. If you're taking a test for a certification and you don't pass it, you get an opportunity to take it all over again until you pass it. But the thing about it is, we want to be so in tune with him. We want to understand who we are in him, that when these tests come, we can pass it the first time. We don't have to continue to go over and over. But if you do, don't be dismayed. Just ask him, where did I miss it, so that I can pass it the next time. What am I supposed to get? Because obviously I didn't get what I was supposed to get. And then maybe you did, but maybe God is just having you go through a period of, as we were having a conversation last night, long-suffering, because he's having you walk out the fruits of his spirit. Somebody shared with me that, and I said, you know what? My God, you're walking out, and that's because he was showing you the value of who you are. God wants us to see how he values us, and he wants us to grow in the fruits of his spirit. So it may not always be easy, but it can be tight, but it'll be right. And I say that because he's pruning us, he's pressing us, he's designing us to be that haute couture fashion that he called us to be. Glory to God. I'm just really got excited. And so oftentimes when we're going through things, you know, we wanna get upset and we wanna get to a place where we're questioning God and we're asking God, you know, why is such and such and such getting away with this and I'm not? You know, why is this being allowed? And he said, what are you talking about? Well, I'm in Romans chapter 9 now, and I'm going to just kind of paraphrase and hit some points, but I'm in the section beginning at verse 14, going down a little bit, and I'll share. But, you know, the word says where God will say, I will have mercy on whomever I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whoever I will have compassion. So then it's not of him who wills, nor of him who runs, but of God who shows mercy. Therefore, God has mercy on whom he wills, and whom he wills, he hardens. So sometimes there will be some people who refuse to listen to God. They refuse to. They refuse to receive him. They turn their back on him. They don't want nothing to do with them. God allows their hearts to become hardened because they've made that choice of not wanting to accept him as their Lord and Savior, come into the knowledge of him, or they don't want to listen to him because they feel that they can do it better. They can do it on their own. And so when he said that, Paul was saying, why does he still find fault for who has resisted his will? But indeed, oh man, who are you to reply against God? Will the thing formed say to him who formed it, why have you made me like this? Does not the potter have power over the clay from the same lump to make one vessel of honor and one and another of dishonor? So in other words, we don't control God. We don't. And who are we to say, why did you build me like this? Why did you make me like this? God made you like that for a reason. And there's a purpose with which he's going to use you. And the question is, God, how are you going to use me? What is it that you would have me to do? Instead of, and in this, understand that in this illustration that Paul is not saying that some of us are worth more than others, but he's simply saying that the Creator has control over the created object. The created object, therefore, has no right to demand anything from its creator because its very existence depends on him. So when we keep this in perspective, it removes any temptation to have pride in personal achievement. So you may be awesome, the bomb diggity, A1, top notch, the big kahuna in whatever you do. You may have the brain of the wisdom of Solomon, and you just may just be fantastic and sharp, and nobody can touch you in what you do. Well, guess what? You have all of that because God made you that way. He fashioned you that way. The accomplishments that you have had in life wasn't because of your own doing and your own greatness. God was the one that gave you the capacity to do it because he's the potter that shaped you as the clay. So he doesn't want you to get caught up in, I did this, I did that, I bought this, I made that. He wants you to understand your value, yes, but not to glow in your value, because the glory of your success belongs to God, because he's the one that gave you the fortitude and the skill set to be able to do what he's called you to do. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Amen. So when we're talking about the potter and we're talking about the clay, it really is really getting an understanding of who he's called us to be. Because he told us, he said, I chose you. And I was reading something earlier, and I'm being led to go back to it. Maybe it's somebody on the line that really needs to hear this. And I'm saying, you know, and I said, to God be the glory. And again, it's because he doesn't want anyone else to define you but him. But he wants you to be assured that you have his help and that he's there for you. Because, again, he created you. He said in Isaiah 41, verse 8, he said, but you, Israel, are my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the descendants of Abraham, my friend, you whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called from its farthest regions and said to you, you are my servant. I have chosen you and I have cast you away. I'm going to put a pin in it right there. God is saying, I have chosen you. I chose you for such a time as this. I created you. That's what he's letting you know. And, you know, to be chosen by God, when you think about that, that is just amazing in and of itself. Because as God gives us a choice and a free will, guess what? He has one too. He didn't have to choose us. He didn't have to pick us. He didn't have to put us where he put us. But he did. He chose us. And that is an honor. And just glorify him. And just take in the fact, you know what, God, I'm honored that you chose me. Because you really didn't have to. And verse 10 goes on and says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will withhold you with my righteous right hand. God is saying, I got you. I'm with you. You don't have to worry about nothing. It don't matter what is being said or done. I am with you. And even though the situation may look dark, if we remember that God is with us, then it doesn't make that which could be so traumatic be as traumatic as the enemy would have us to think, as Satan would have us to believe. And he says in verse 11, behold, all those who are incensed against you shall be ashamed and disgraced. They shall be as nothing, and those who strive with you shall perish. So all of those people that's coming against you, this naysayer, the haters, as we all like to say in this in the colloquialism that we use up today, the haters, all of those that are against you, God is telling you, they are nothing. I got them. He said, I'm going to deal with them. You don't even have to worry about them. You don't even let what they say to you infiltrate your brain. Just focus on me. He said, because you're going to look for them. You're going to seek them and not find them. And those who contended with you, those who war against you shall be as nothing, a non-existent thing. For I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. God is telling you, I'm right there. You don't have to worry. And why? Because he loves you that much. He values you. He tells us that we're more precious than rubies. He values who we are because he made us. It's just like us when we have children, for those who have children or who have children in their home that they're taking care of. You value that child. You love that child because you recognize that that child is a gift from God. And God did not have to entrust you with that child. So whenever God places a child in your presence to take care of, he is entrusting you to take care of that child because he knows you have instilled in you what it takes to raise that child. And when the child seems difficult, instead of getting upset, God, help me train up this boy or girl as you would have them to be so that they are your strong woman or man of God, whatever the case may be. Because then now you're coming back to the one that created you and said, hey, because not only did you create me, God, you created this child of mine. You created this one that you've entrusted me with. I don't have a clue what to do, but you do. So show me what to do. Show me how to persevere in this thing. Show me how to teach them your way. Show me how to train them up. Just as much pride as you feel for your child, when your child accomplishes great things, guess what? That same pride is with God. But the beautiful thing about it is, even when we fall short, God's grace and mercy, he's still proud of us. But you know how he's even more proud of us? When we go to him and we say, you know what, God, I missed the mark. I messed up today. This is my area of weakness. This is where I have my greatest struggle. God, I need your help. Help me with this thing. Help my unbelief. Help my doubt. Help me get back on track. God, I'm in this situation. I have no clue what to do. I don't know where to turn. But you do. You guide me. Remove the confusion. Remove the distraction. Transform my thoughts, oh God. Transform me, oh God, and renew my mind in the right spirit. In other words, help me think on those things of you, oh God. Because you know what? I know you love me. Your word tells me you love me. Your word tells me you chose me. Your word tells me I'm one of your elect. Your word tells me that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I know you value me. So because you value me, I'm believing you, God, to help me. because I can't do it without you. I need you. That's all God is calling us to say. That's all he want to hear. He want to know that we need him, that we love him, that we appreciate him, and not because of what he can do for us, but just because of who he is. He wants us to show him and share with him and love on him because guess what? We value him, amen, just as much as he values us. Amen? So I am excited. So when you start thinking about why did you make me this way? Check yourself. Take yourself to the mirror and stop looking at what you don't have or the features that you don't think you have and start praising God for the features that you do have. You know? Okay, you may not be a size 5, but and you may have hips and bottom and whatnot. Praise God for your hips and bottom, because guess what? There is someone that's a size 5 is wishing that they had your hips and bottom and vice versa. Praise God for what you have, because when he made you, he knew everybody that you were going to run into. He knew everybody that you were going to interface with, be in relationship with, have contact with. And there is something about you, no matter how you're made, that is going to minister to those people that you interact with. Your thoughts. And when you start feeling good about on the inside, about who God has made you to be, my God, does it change your outside? I tell folk all the time, Jesus keep you looking good. Jesus keep you looking young. Jesus keep you looking like new money walking tall, as the old folks used to say. So in other words, you may not have money, but he keep you looking like you have some. And because you know in him you do, because the word says that he gives us, he meets every need and gives us the desires of our heart. So we're not without. We may be without in the natural, but we're not without in the spirit. And because we recognize God and we call on him, God, you said, your word said, because you value who I am. You created me to be yours. You chose me. I'm yours. I'm your child. I don't have any food. God, I need a meal. I need it. God, and he will open up a door. I'm telling you, I've seen it done over and over again. He will open up a door, and he will provide whatever you need. He just needs you to trust him. Somebody told me one time, we think too small. We want to believe God for a banana, and he's trying to give us a whole banana tree. And we just asking for one banana. God, you know I love bananas. Can you bring them to me? Or I love apples. Can I have an apple orchard? But we shortchange ourselves when we don't have to, because of the value that God places on our lives. So when people try to diminish you and diminish what you bring to the table, you hold fast. I know. Thank you, but no thank you, because my God said, and I can't allow you to make me feel less than who I am or diminish my work. You might not be cool with it, but guess what I am? You may not like it. It's okay. Take it up with God. It's all good. I dare you to ask him, why did he make you like that? Because God will show you. I made you like this because I needed you to be here at this time. And somebody needed to see you this way so we could help them get through that thing. Amen?
Amen.
sometimes people don't understand how you get to that level of faith. And if you're not at that level of faith and you believe in that you are the potter you are the clay in the potter's hand, but you're 100% out of order, thinking you lining up with God, how do you handle that? I mean, how do you handle that? How do you see yourself that way if you're not in relationship with the Lord?
Well, you know, first of all, it's getting a relationship with the Lord. I believe that once we come into a full knowledge and accept Jesus Christ and confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus is the Christ, He is our, and confess Him as our Lord and Savior, at that moment, we are in a position to receive and to come into the knowledge. It's just like this, you know, faith the size of a mustard seed can move mountains. And as you grow in relationship with God, as you begin to read His word and you begin to identify and understand who you are, that's when over time, it's not an overnight process because it takes time. And even seasoned saints will go through something because you're going through new levels in Christ, right? You'll go through something and you may, okay, wait a minute, hold up. When thinking you can't do anything, forgetting that if God takes you to a place, if He takes you to it, He's going to bring you through it. And so even seasoned saints cross that bridge at times, and they have to come back and say, you know what, wait a minute, God. You gave me this house. You gave me this. You gave me this job. You opened up this door. You did this, so you're going to have, I've got to believe you. Help my unbelief to be able to take care of these things that you gave me or you led me to this. You know, and so it's done with time. But the first step is accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, because then the Holy Spirit is in you, and then God can start revealing things to you through His Spirit as you grow in Him. And that's why I was trying to share some of the scriptures, like Psalm 139. Go back and pull your Bible. If you don't have a Bible, go on the internet. You can type in Psalm 139, and it will come up, and you can read it, print it out, write it out, whatever you need to do. And if you have to just continue to read it over and over again until you can ingest it, until it's a living, breathing thing in you, eat it just like you eat your cereal or your egg or whatever every morning. And drink your coffee or juice or whatever, ingest it every day until you start getting it. And then God will start leading to you to other scriptures. Okay, well, she got Psalm 139. Let me take her over here to Isaiah 41. Let me take him over here to Proverbs. Let me take you, and God will start guiding you. Let me take you to Romans. I'll tell anyone, and this is just my opinion. It doesn't count for much, but it's my opinion. The book of Romans is an awesome book in helping a babe in Christ or a newborn in Christ or someone who's struggling with who they are in Christ to get an understanding of who they are. Because if you just take your time and read through the book of Romans, it helps you understand the position for which God has called you as joint heir with Christ and what that really means. And so that would be my suggestion. And, you know, we can always, you know, of course there's always prayer, and then there's always, you know, asking God to lead you to godly counsel, getting you in a place where you're hearing the word and you're getting the word, the true unadulterated word of God, no, you know, straight, no chaser, God's word just as it is, not sugar-coated, fluffed up, patted down, sugared down, whatever you want to call it, okey-doke, pokey-face, just giving you the word of God, because the word of God is not going to always hit you as sugar and pie. Sometimes it's going to cut you like a double-edged sword, but it's cutting you to get that infection and to get that which is not of him out of you. It's a surgery. We ask God to give us a clean heart, but we don't understand every time we're doing that, we are asking God to perform surgery on our heart, open heart surgery, to get out everything that's in us that's not of him.
Let's go back to the potter. The clay in the potter's hand. You have to remove your will to allow God to shape you as he see fit. Not as you see fit, but as he see fit. So just like you were saying, the clay on the potter wheel, and the potter is actually molding it and shaping it to whatever form it may be, because a clay could be formed any way it wants to be formed. But if the potter is forming it, you have no will to reshape it.
That's true.
Have no will to reshape it. So with that being said, is to understand that scripture is basically saying, you get out the way and let me shape you into what what purpose I have for you, because the purpose that you may be thinking or may have for yourself is not what God has for you.
Exactly. And that's why he said, who are you to say? Who are you to say, you know, why did I make you this way? Because as the, you know, scripture tells us, before we was even in our mother's womb, he had already written our name in the book of life. So he knew when we were going to be born, and he knew when we was going to go home to glory. And he knew what was going to transpire in between time. And so you are absolutely right. Get out the way and let God and go with how God shaped you. Because he already knew. And the thing about it is, which is so wonderful, and that's why it's the whole value thing, is God makes no mistakes, and everything he makes is good. So whatever he's trying to shape you to be, or trying to get you to be, is good. And if you just go with it, you'll see that it's good. And but we gotta learn to go with it, because in the world system, we're supposed to control everything. We're supposed to be the, you know, big cajon, and we can't. God, it might be all right, but it won't be that God kind of good. Might be good in man's eyes, might be great in man's eyes, but not in God's, because it didn't conform with what he would have us to do.
All righty. You want to do
the announcement? Yeah, I do. I'm excited because you know, we are, first of all, we're going on our road trip next weekend, and we are going to Sight and Sound. So, again, all of those who are going, we need you to be at the Oxon Hill Park and Ride at 7:30 a.m. Because the bus will be leaving out at 8. Also, if you are interested in purchasing a T-shirt for the bus trip, please email us at sisterswithpurpose@comcast.net. We shared with you before that it's a young entrepreneur, young lady who, someone that one of our board members was working with. She you know, had been working with her on something else and knew that the young lady was trying to get her business off the ground. And she does really good work. I did have an opportunity to see her work. She does good work, so I know that you will be pleased. The T-shirts are $24. And, you know, we like to support, you know, our brothers and sisters in Christ as they try to, you know, do what God has called them to do. So if you're interested in getting an SWP shirt, T-shirt, please email us at sisterswithpurpose@comcast.net. I believe she would need to have your order by the end of this week to make sure you have it in time. Amen. But if you want one and not for the bus trip, but you just want one, then just email us and let us know that too. Also, Sisters with Purpose is going on the road again. On May 7th, we are going to be going down to Southern Maryland. We are going to be doing a Royal Kingdom Women Lunch, and it's going to be held at the Golden Corral Buffet and Grill, located at 22604 Three Notch Road in Lexington Park, Maryland. Zip code is 20653. Again, it's May 7th. Oh, and I forgot, the time is 1 p.m. at the Golden Corral Buffet and Grill, 22604 Three Notch Road, Lexington Park, Maryland, 20653. And so we are going on the road again. Sean and I will be speaking, and we just never know how else the Lord is going to move, but we just expect, you know, we just dedicate this lunch unto him and consecrate it unto him, and we just follow how he flows. Amen. In addition to that, we are preparing, as we've mentioned before, for our Weekend of Serenity that's being held October 28th through October 30th at the Sandy Cove Religious Conference Center, located on the Chesapeake Bay in Northeast Maryland. So if you are interested, we are taking reservations right now, and I know that the rooms are going to fill up fast. So if you are interested in going, please contact us at sisterswithpurpose@comcast.net. So we have some exciting things coming down the pipe. Some, you know, we've mentioned a couple of them tonight. There will be more to come as we move further into the warmth of the season. So just get ready, get ready, get ready.
Amen.
Amen. And that's all the announcements for today, unless, you know, you have something else you want to add.
No, I can't think of anything.
All righty. Well, that's it, unless Victoria has anybody that has questions or comments or whatever. That about wraps it up today for the potter and the clay. Do you really understand your value?
Okay. If there are any questions or comments, please feel free to press 1. We'll let you in. We have a few minutes left.
Ding, 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 ding. Like the, what is that, Wheel of Fortune? Is that the one?
Uh-huh.
Where they play the music. Amen.
Uh-huh. Well, let me do a Bible breakdown since we don't have any questions. 1 John 4:18, such love has no fear because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment. And this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. We love each other because he loves us first. I went to 19, but I'm going to 22. If someone say, I love you, God, but hate a Christian brother or sister, that person is a liar. For if we don't love people, we can see how can we love God, whom we cannot see. And he has given us this command. Those who love God must also love their Christian brother and sister. But I just want to share this right here from a commentary real quick.
The phrase, there is no fear in love, speak and stated not of a godly fear, but rather a slavish fear. The idea is if we love God as we ought to, in other words, our love is not diluted, there will be no fear. Proper love at the same time demand proper faith. In other words, it's impossible for a believer to properly love the Lord if that believer does not properly exhibit faith in the Lord as well. And when we speak of faith, we are speaking of the cross. This means if our faith is not properly placed in the cross, but rather other things, our faith is improper and will translate into improper love, which will translate into fear. The love of which John speaks here is not known by the poor result of its action in man, but rather by its perfect action in God. And that perfection manifests itself at Calvary. Praise God. This perfect love is a fact, and it manifests itself outside of man in order to the salvation of man. The believer knows it by the gift of God's Son, and he enjoys it by the gifts of God's Spirit. It is at Calvary that we learn what love is, and that's when we had no love for God. God loved us perfectly though we were far from him and dead in our sins. Man has no love for God, and I speak of an unredeemed man. His pretension is possessed it as self-deception. He cannot find it by searching within himself, but he can know it as manifesting in the anointing sacrifice of Christ. Amen. And he gave the life. He gave the life which loved and made appropriation for sin. For sin, yeah. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for his love. Thank you, God.
Perfect love.
Yes. You know, and I learned something. I just want to share, you know, it's interesting that you should bring that down in this conversation we were having, because I was sharing with some others, and you noticed well about the past pain that I've had, and come to find out is because it manifested itself because some things that I was dealing with or fighting in the natural went, or in the spirit, however you want to look at it, went directly against what is who I am, which is I tend to walk by faith on a whole bunch of stuff. So I'm a faith walker and believer and talk, but I was letting some things, distractions, get to me, and what it was doing was wrestling with the essence of who I am, and it was manifesting in the back pain. Isn't that something? But faith casts out all fear.
Yep.
Perfect love casts out all fear.
Yep. And those who really possess this divine nature love, because they are love, it is especially a fraternal love. It loves fellow believers more intimately than the nearest relative who are unconverted. It binds the heart with a stronger bond to person never seen than to the dearest companion of childhood. It is a new nature, a realm outside of natural human affection, a realm of divine love, a fellowship with God and with all who knows him. There is in truth no love outside of that realm.
Wow.
So the love that you even have from your parents or for your parents is beyond that.
Wow.
Beyond the love you have for your husband or your children is beyond that. It said there is in truth no love outside of that realm. Divine.
that divine realm. That's wow.
Divine love. Amen. But Father God, we thank you. We praise you. We lift up your name. We praise you for your love. We just praise you that you are the potter and we are the clay. So we seal this call tonight, and we ask that you just rest down and manifest your glory in each and every person on this call. In the mighty name of Jesus, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Good night. Be blessed.
God loves you.